Yes, and how may I direct your call?
I said, I'm sorry, I had the wrong number. I clicked off. The Four Seasons Hotel. I had seen it. I had never been in it. It was a little above my current pay grade. It was on 57th Street, between Madison Avenue and Park Avenue, right there in my 68-square-block box, a little west and a lot north of its geographic center, but a short walk for someone getting off the 6th train at 59th Street. Hundreds of rooms, hundreds of telephone extensions, all routed out through the main switchboard, all carrying the main switchboard's caller ID. Helpful, but not very. I thought for a moment and looked around very carefully, and then reversed direction and headed for the 14th Precinct. I had no idea what time an NYPD detective would show up for a night watch, but I expected Theresa Lee to be there within about an hour. I expected to have to wait for her in the downstairs lobby. What I didn't expect was to find Jacob Mark already in there ahead of me. He was sitting on an upright chair against the wall and drumming his fingers on his knees. He looked at me with no surprise at all and said,
Peter didn't show up for practice.
Chapter 29. Right there in the precinct lobby, Jacob Mark talked for about 5 straight minutes, with the kind of rambling fluency that is typical of the truly anxious. He said that the USC football people had waited 4 hours and then called Peter's father, who had called him. He said that for a star senior on a full scholarship to miss practice was completely unthinkable. In fact, to make practice, no matter what else was going on, was a major part of the culture. Earthquakes, riots, wars, deaths in the family, mortal disease, everyone showed up. It emphasized to the world how important football was, and by implication, how important the players were to the university. Because jocks were respected by most, but disrespected by some. And there was an unspoken mandate to live up to the majority's ideals and change the minority's minds. Then there were the straightforward machismo issues. To miss practice was like a firefighter declining a turnout, like a hit-by-pitch batter rubbing his arm, like a gunslinger staying inside the saloon. Unthinkable, unheard of, doesn't happen. Hangovers, broken bones, torn muscles, bruises, it didn't matter, you showed up. Plus, Peter was going to the NFL, and increasingly, pro teams look for character. They've been burned too many times. So missing practice was the same thing as trashing his meal ticket. Inexplicable, incomprehensible. I listened without paying close attention. I was counting hours instead. Close to 48 since Susan Mark had missed her deadline. Why hadn't Peter's body been found? Then Theresa Lee showed up with news. But first Lee had to deal with Jacob Mark's situation. She took us up to the second floor squad room and heard him out and asked,
Has Peter been officially reported missing?
Jake said,
I want to do that right now.
You can't, Lee said.
At least, not to me. He's missing in L.A., not in New York.
Susan was killed here.
She committed suicide here.
The USC people don't take missing persons reports, and the LAPD won't take it seriously. They don't understand.
Peter's 22 years old. It's not like he's a child.
He's been missing more than 5 days.
Duration isn't significant. He doesn't live at home. And who's to say he's missing? Who is to say what his normal pattern might be? Presumably, he goes for long periods without contact with his family. This is different. What's your policy over there in Jersey?
Jake didn't answer. Lee said,
He's an independent adult. It's like he got on a plane and went on vacation. It's like his friends were at the airport and watched him go. I can see where the LAPD is coming from on this.
But he missed football practice. That doesn't happen.
It just did, apparently.
Susan was being threatened, Jake said.
By who?
Jake looked at me. Tell her, Reacher. I said, something to do with her job. There was a lot of leverage. Had to be. I think a threat against her son would be consistent.
Okay,
Lee said. She looked around the squad room and found her partner, Dougherty. He was working at one of a pair of twinned desks in the back of the space. She looked back at Jake and said,
go make a full report. Everything you know and everything you think you know.
Jake nodded gratefully and headed toward Dougherty. I waited until he was gone and asked, are you reopening the file now? Lee said,
no. The file is closed and it's staying closed. Because as it happens, there's nothing to worry about. But the guy's a cop, and we have to be courteous. And I want him out of the way for an hour.
Why is there nothing to worry about? So she told me her news. She said,
we know why Susan Mark came up here.
How?
We got a missing persons report. Apparently Susan was helping someone with an inquiry, and when she didn't show, the individual concerned got worried and came in to report her missing.
What kind of inquiry?
Something personal, I think. I wasn't here. The day guys said it all sounded innocent enough, and it must have been really, or why else come to the police station?
And Jacob Mark shouldn't know this. Why?
We need a lot more detail, and getting it will be easier without him there. He's too involved. He's a family member. He'll scream and yell, I've seen it before.
Who was the individual concerned?
A foreign national, briefly here in town for the purpose of conducting the research that Susan was helping with.
Wait, I said. Briefly here in town? Staying in a hotel?
Yes.
The Four Seasons?
Yes.
What's his name?
It's a her, not a him, Lee said. Her name is Lila Hoff.
Chapter 30. It was very late in the evening, but Lee called anyway, and Lila Hoth agreed to meet with us at the Four Seasons. Right away. No hesitation. We drove over in Lee's unmarked car and parked in the hotel's curbside loading zone. The lobby was magnificent. All pale sandstone and brass and tan paint and golden marble, suspended halfway between dim intimacy and bright modernism. Lee showed her badge at the desk, and the clerk called upstairs, and then pointed us toward the elevators. We were headed for another high floor, and the way the clerk had spoken made me feel that Lila Hoth's room wasn't going to be the smallest or the cheapest in the place. In fact, Lila Hoth's room was another suite. It had a double door like Sansom's in North Carolina, but no cop outside, just a quiet, empty corridor.